Good morning. Hey, good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you today on Friday, April 22nd, 2016?
About 96%.
Good, good. We've got only a couple more days to bring you up to at least 111%. So
111
gets turned up all the way. You know, I took a survey this morning. Strange little survey using the, gosh, what's it called? The Google Surveys application. They'll give you like Google Play credit, and I think Google makes it. But they'll send you some surveys for you to answer, and it'll say things like, hey, did you go to Target recently? And I say yes. And then it says, okay, here's 15 cents.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's all. I mean, usually it'll ask you more than one question, but sometimes it's just one question, and it doesn't want you. But it thanks you for your time, and it is quite gracious. So I appreciate that.
I want 15 cents for saying I went to Target.
It's time for you. Well, if you want that 15 cents, go get an Android phone. There you go.
Oh, that's... I got to get an Android phone.
I could just give you 15 cents, maybe.
Yeah, you should funnel all of your Google Apps money to me.
That's a bad idea. Why? Where would it go? I guess you could put it into like Play Music or Play Books. What else?
Books,
what
maybe. Else? Oh, I don't want to read. I like my Kindle.
Yeah.
Does Google, but does Google Play Books have to be on a device, a tablet device?
What? No. What?
Google Play Books.
No. You can read them on the web, in the web, even if you wanted to.
Can I also put them on my Kindle?
Yeah, on your Kindle? You can import stuff through an email address, so probably there's got to be a way to import that. I don't know if there's DRM on it, though. So it probably depends on the book.
Google?
I think you're thinking of a Kindle.
Oh, shush. For Kindle?
So you're okay. You're going to search the internet right now. I'm going to let the listeners, new and old, know that we're live right now. Goodstuff.fm/live, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And if you'd like to, and we would greatly appreciate it, you can call or leave a message. And text us as well over at 949-342-6578, either during the show, after the show, anytime. Really, no actual human is going to answer, but you could do as the 415 did here and call and leave a message. Let's take a listen.
I have one thing to say. Okay, now I look like an idiot. Okay, bye, guys.
Thank you, 415. We we greatly appreciate the pews.
Pew, 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 pew. Mm. Pew, 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 pew.
Even when I do it, it's funny.
Yeah, well, mostly, for the most part.
Oh.
So how excited are you, Kenny, for today's Food Friday?
I don't know, that's a good question.
Okay, all right. We'll find out a little later in the show. Indeed, as we do every Friday, it is Food Friday!
Woo!
Woo! Where's... Here, I've got one that can maybe help us with that. Gosh, make the window bigger. Yeah, Kenny, Food Friday!
All right, get down to your bunker. The air raid just went off.
Actually, you're right. The Stuffy Slack, the Patreon exclusive Stuffy Slack, patreon.com/morningshow, said that if you looped that properly, this is according to Andrew Rooster, you could make that sound like a tornado siren and probably confuse the heck out of people. So please, if you are in a bunker right now and listening to the show, call or text us, I guess. Maybe just SOS. I don't know how that works.
SMS.
SMS, the SOS. IHOP. I have to go. I have to go tinkle. Yes, thank you. Kenny, also today, this episode, as it always is, is brought to you by our friends over at Feed Press and our Patreon supporters. A special thanks to those guys, the goats.
Goats.
Yes. Is it a goat or a tennis player?
I think it's Patreon.
Special thanks to those guys for upping a bit of their support this month. It does help pay the bills, so go over there if you'd like to monetarily help support the show. That's weird. I'm ready, Kenny, to move on to some headlines. Are you ready?
Yeah.
These are today's headlines.
What's going on?
Prince died.
That's
the news stopped yesterday because Prince died.
That's pretty much it.
Very, very sad news. But today's a new day.
It is indeed. Yeah, the thing is, most of the morning shows that either I watch in the morning or I listen to on a podcast later, they were too late to catch this news. And so this morning, they are doubling down and filling the entirety of their segments with all of this news. And probably rightfully so. Cut down in his prime, I would say.
Now, 57. I will say, somebody on Facebook, I think yesterday after the news broke, made a startling revelation that because happenstance is when a famous artist passes away, you want to remember them. And in this case, you would want to listen to a lot of Prince music, right?
Sure.
A lot of his music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he was pretty adamant about not putting his music on streaming services.
Right.
So that became a big problem yesterday. People were searching for his music. And I don't think it's very common to find his music on the internet these days.
No, it definitely is not.
It was basically YouTube and that's it.
Yeah, YouTube and maybe Pandora. You might be able to get a couple of things through there without.
Yeah, but that's not always the most reliable.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it kind of did the whole music streaming and paying artists and things like that. All the hot takes and all that news came to the forefront yesterday. So, okay, good. Some of the other kind of technological changes that happened that I noticed yesterday was Google Music. Now, you're right. I don't believe you can stream most of the music on there. But what they did was they changed the entire interface color in Google Music to purple.
That's awesome.
It looks great.
Oh, well, they should keep it.
I think they should. I think they should just, you know, scrap all that rebranding that they just did and go purple with everything in music. Because I don't think there's a Google service that's actually purple, right? Forms, maybe, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that is an unused color.
It's subtle. You know, it's sometimes when you go to Google Music, Google Play Music, it's kind of just like, orange. And like angry, super angry. Like
in your face.
Yeah.
Wake up, it's orange.
I mean, we use it every day here at the show, but
we use a gold.
Why do we use a gold, Kenny? Did you get something gold, something old, something told, something mold?
No, I fold.
Okay, don't fold. Really, you're not going to tell me
the breaking news is that I got a Starbucks gold card, Kyle.
Yes, breaking news.
I honestly have been working for this for a year.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, because I wanted to get all those stars so I could get a gold card. I wanted them to mail me a free gold card. I now have it in my grasp.
It tastes like coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Gold coffee.
When you lick it, you kick it. Does it taste like coffee?
It tastes like coffee.
Perfect.
Not really a headline, but no, there you go.
Perfect, Kenny. Also, today is Earth Day. I think that's going to be the other headline that dominates most of today. There's a Google Doodle for it. I saw a polar bear a couple times. This one is an octopus. There's just some neat little Google Doodles. I like them.
All right.
And that's it. We'll talk a little bit more about Earth Day in the National Day segment, obviously, but can I do it? Can I say it today?
Yeah.
Those are your headlines. That means.
That's not how I sound.
Oh, let me try that again.
Those are your headlines.
Dum, dum, right. Dum, dum.
Thank you, Michael Caine.
You're welcome.
I must away.
I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that. Kenny, it's brought to you by Feed Press. Feed Press is, supporting this show right here.
Train wreck.
Bring it on over to wreck and stuff. Kenny, today's episode of Morning Show is hosted and delivered to you thanks to our friends over at FeedPress. FeedPress is RSS feed analytics and podcast file hosting in a simple, intuitive, and unified dashboard. FeedPress features powerful subscriber and podcast download tracking, integrated newsletters, automated publishing to popular social networks like Twitter and Facebook, a slick drag and drop podcast hosting interface, and everything you need in order to submit an optimized feed to iTunes. And let's face it, you've probably thought, about moving from aging feed burner. It's just burning down. You know, that Google is real orange. It's like blue and orange. It's looks like the tribal tattoo of the internet. It's just bad, bad.
Wow.
You regret it. You thoroughly regret it. Kenny, FeedPress is not, though. FeedPress offers an automatic migration tool that can remove that tattoo with ease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of painful a little bit, but FeedPress will, you know, just make you answer a few simple questions and then the rest is taken care of. Your feeds and subscriber data will be transitioned into your FeedPress account, leaving you free to focus on the content you put out. FeedPress offers free migration assistance and will take care of the hard work for you. Support is responsive and available 7 days a week via email. So get in touch. They can help. Can you go to feed.press/morningshow? You, today, sign up and try it for just 14 days without any contracts or any commitments. Be sure to use the promo code MORNINGSHOW. During checkout, you'll get 10% off your first year. A huge thanks to the whole of FeedPress for supporting Morning Show and the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network.
Woo!
Of course, I've got some more follow-up, and no, we won't be doing the Macarena.
Oh, thank goodness.
But we can
if the bird Macarena.
We can if you want.
Pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew,
pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, pew, of baby animals yesterday. So here's a fact for you, comes all the way from Australia. Scientists often refer to a male koala as a buck,
okay,
and a female as a doe. So kind of like deer, a koala, a female koala.
That is how people refer to deer. Mm-hmm. Not kinda, or something like deer. It is deer. That's for sure. That's deer.
Mm-hmm. And a baby koala is called a joey.
Is that what it is?
And, well, that's according to scientists. Yes. Science!
I don't know. I always thought it was kangaroos. What's the kid? That's the goat, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, and kangaroos, yes, are also joeys. So I feel like koalas are sort of, they're encroaching.
Marsupials.
They are marsupials. Yeah, I love a good koala marsupial.
Awful. That's awful. I'm not laughing.
Why are
That's
you
not
laughing
me laughing?
About
no,
it.
No, yeah. No.
Yeah, you.
No, do not put words in my mouth. Laugh? Do not put laughs in my mouth.
Why would you laugh about that, Kenny?
You're terrible. You're a terrible person, Kyle.
Well, let me tell you about another animal, maybe. Another baby, maybe.
No, it's not a baby.
Okay, well, this is a whale, Kenny. How about you ask the question, then I'll tell you the answer. We can do it that way.
How deep does a whale go in the ocean?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Kenny. They have been tracked. They, being the whales, have been tracked by sonar diving to depths of 3,900 feet. However, right there. One sperm whale caught by a whaling ship in water 10,000 feet deep had a bottom-dwelling shark in its stomach. So the sperm whale itself dove all the way, maybe to the bottom. I don't know. Maybe it met the bottom dwelling shark halfway. It's like it's like delivery or DiGiorno, one of the two.
This sentence has a grammatical error.
Most of the sentences, yes. So the way this will be a little bit of backyard baseball here, but the way that I get most of these facts is I'm feeling curious. A little Google search thing.
That's great.
And most of the time it comes from this one's from Whale Facts, as in FAQs.
Oh, yeah, because I always have frequently asked questions about whales.
Yes.
It says one sperm whale caught by a whaling ship in water 10,000 feet deep. That means that the whaling ship was in water 10,000 feet deep.
Right. Yes.
Yes, the prepositional phrase is then attributed to the whaling ship rather than the sperm whale. I've got an English degree.
Wait.
Okay.
How many teeth does a cow have?
Super glad you asked, Kenny. Cows' teeth are different from ours.
But how many do they have?
Cows have a total of 32 teeth. But they're different.
Oh.
So on the top front, actually. So if you are you touching your teeth right now?
Can you? No.
They're delicate. Okay, good.
Hey.
Are you touching your teeth?
Go, continue.
Yeah.
So on the top front, cows have a tough pad of skin instead of teeth. So it's like if you ripped out all your top teeth and gave them to the tooth fairy. And you know, made a couple of bucks.
Oh my gosh, you're going to rip your full-grown adult teeth out of your face for a couple bucks?
How come, like, I can get top dollar for my organs, like on eBay, but my teeth are probably worthless?
Because you can't put the teeth back into somebody.
Why not?
Why not? Because it's teeth.
Okay. All right, fine. I just want to... Okay.
Also, why are you selling your organs?
Do you need the cash to replace your teeth?
Do you want to be a cow?
I've had a multitude of dental procedures over the last 3 months.
Oh my god!
But I'm pretty much done. Yeah. I look like a cow now. It's fine. How now, Kyle? Cow. They also have 8 incisors on the bottom front, and 6 strong molars on the top and bottom of each side to grind their food. So if you can, I'll describe this in a non-Macarena way, but I'm going to use my hands. Okay, you ready?
I won't be able to see. Neither will our listeners.
Okay, well then, take your two hands.
Okay.
Now remove...
My hands?
Your hand. Now completely remove your hands. And that's what a cow's mouth looks like.
Oh, jeez.
Kenny.
Squirting blood?
Mm-hmm. Greenland Ranch, California. Why is that special?
Because it's not green land.
It's a ranch.
But it is a ranch.
In 1913, July 10th, in fact, it has the record for the highest temperature ever recorded in the United States at a whopping 134 degrees Fahrenheit.
I think that's the temperature I sent my oven to bake a pizza.
I have dried beef jerky at a lower temperature. No, just wow. Kidding. I think that'll get me in trouble with people.
those cows will bite you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's,
with their 32 teeth.
Let's search Google for this here and see if we can get the... oh, come on. 134 to C. Because I know we have a couple of people in Canada, at least. At least half, all right, maybe.
Now,
56.6667 degrees Celsius.
Okay, now this is not only the highest recorded temperature in the United States. It's the highest recorded temperature ever.
That is correct.
Wow. What? Wow. And how much was it in centigrade Celsius?
That was 56.6, I think.
Okay. Because exactly 90 years after it had been established at some place in Libya, there was a measurement of 58 degrees centigrade. But I don't think it was official, and I don't think it was recorded. I think someone just went outside and was like, ah, it's way too hot!
So it could have or it couldn't have beat it.
I don't know.
It could be news.
I think it could have beat it.
It could have been news, but it wasn't.
It could have been.
Kenny, I'm ready to move on then to a national day.
Okay, perfect.
Because it's Food Friday. Actually, no, it's just because it's this show right here. We're going to talk about food. It is... National Jelly Bean Day.
That's how I eat them.
Yeah. There you go. Every April 22nd, Kenny, is National Jelly Bean Day. Jelly beans, if you are unfamiliar with these jelly beans, we've actually eaten jelly beans on this show before. But they're small bean-shaped sugar candies with soft candy shells and thick gel interiors.
That does not make them sound appealing at all. You just have to say jelly beans, and I eat them.
Surprise, peeps.
Beans.
Peep beans. Surprise, beans. The confection comes in a wide variety of colors and flavors, as we have seen in the past, and is primarily made of sugar, obviously.
What else are they made of?
Flavorings. Coffee, maybe?
Made of coffee?
Yep. Mm,
it's like coffee.
Num. You want to know some
Tell
facts?
Tell me some facts about Kyle.
I never thought you would ask, and then you did. Here we go. Kenny, the first jelly bean, just this one single bean, was created by an unknown American candy maker in the 1800s. Okay. I don't think it exists. They probably ate it because they could not resist. Man. And
they created it like it was like Thomas Edison, and he made the light bulb, but it was actually a jelly bean, and he went, "I've made a jelly. This looks really good. I'm gonna eat it." I made one and I finished it.
Yep. Now, how do I make it again? No idea.
No one will believe me.
That's right. So it took all the way until 1861. Where an advertisement recommended selling those jelly beans that some random person had created to soldiers fighting in the Civil War.
Man, that term is really taking on a different meaning now that the Marvel movie is about to come out. I see the words Civil War, and I only think about Captain America versus Iron Man.
Really?
Yeah.
When does that come out?
May 6th.
May the 6th be with you.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got the Jedi and the Sixth. Kenny, the original eight flavors of Jelly Belly, a popular jelly bean company.
The Jelly Bean Company.
Introduced in 1976 were the following. Very cherry.
Yum.
Root beer.
Yum.
Cream soda.
Eh.
Tangerine.
That's yum.
Green apple.
Yum.
Lemon. Licorice. And grape.
Oh, I like grape.
Oh, I like that one. Oh.
Grape is great.
It's pretty great. Yeah. Kenny, Jelly Belly beans were the first jelly beans in outer space. when when President Ronald Reagan sent them in a 1983 flight of the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Oh.
Don't make any jokes. Can he each
I'm
year?
Not going to make any jokes.
Come on.
Oh. No jokes.
Oh. Okay. All right. My computer. You all right? You there? One.
Two, yeah. What happened?
Three. I don't know. Not sure. Okay. Moving on. Can he each year? Each year in the U.S., there are 16 billion jelly beans manufactured just for the Easter holiday.
Oh my, wow.
This is enough to circle the earth more than three times if they were laid end to end. I love facts like this.
Who has the time?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. Like, you can't even imagine. I've never even put two jelly beans together end to end and see how long that is. But can you imagine putting all of them? 16 billion of them end to end.
Just for Easter.
Yeah, it'd be like a giant. It's like a giant necklace for the Earth. Happy Earth Day, Earth. Here's a necklace of jelly beans.
Don't eat them.
Don't eat. No. Mm-mm. Actually, well, it would go around three times. So I guess, I don't know.
Easter was 3 weeks ago. Those jelly beans are not okay to eat anymore.
Oh, come on. There's nothing wrong with an old jelly bean.
Yeah. Oh, Kyle. There's lots of things wrong with an old jelly bean.
No, it's just it's mainly sugar. I would eat an old jelly bean. They call me old jelly bean.
Prove it.
What do you mean?
Prove it.
Okay, how old? Here we go. Let's get Garko on this here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How old can you eat a jelly bean?
That doesn't make any sense, Kyle.
Okay, how do I phrase the question? How is it okay to eat a jelly bean after? And then
3 weeks,
we'll just have it. Let's see. TheExaminer.com has an article about the benefits of eating jelly beans.
Okay,
that's not helpful.
No. Also benefits? I don't think so.
Yeah. Here you go. How long do jelly beans last?
There you go.
Kenny.
Uh-huh.
Jelly beans last for 1 to 2 years beyond any date printed on the package.
Oh.
So, 1 to 2 years. Now, I don't have a package of jelly beans here, obviously. But if it says the year 2020, as we know, to be the main year that the future arrives, then you can go to 2022 and everything will be just fine. You can buy your Tesla-branded jelly beans and enjoy them while you take a self-driven drive across the country.
They autonomously jump into your mouth so you can eat them.
Gimme. I want that.
Hey, Kyle. Did you know it takes 7 to 21 days to make a single Jelly Belly jelly bean? That's the truth. If you want to find out and have firsthand experience of this, you can sign up for the Jelly Belly University in Fairfield, California.
Oh, no. No,
be warned, however. That's it. That's the end of the thing that Google's giving me.
Hmm.
It just says be warned, however, at
they're
the
not,
end.
They're not going to tell you why you should be warned. Oh no. My
goodness,
that is some clickbait if I ever saw it.
That is hey, you love jelly beans? Well, so do we, but get ready for this terrible news.
More after the jump.
More after you click on this link.
Kenny, also, as I mentioned, it is Earth Day today.
Earth Day.
Welcome to Earth. It's an annual event, video. Kenny.
I sent you that video. You
know, when did you send it? Where did you send it?
It's in your Hangouts.
Okay. I'm afraid. I'm really afraid to open it.
It's fine. I already tested it.
It's just grind. No. I mean, like, I'm not afraid to be Rickrolled. That already happened. I'm afraid that the computer is going to grind to a halt right now.
If you open up a YouTube tab?
Yes.
YouTube tab?
YouTube tab.
YouTube tab.
Tube tab.
Tube tab. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, YouTube, change your name. Like, tube tab.
Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Wow, third time you've used that.
I think it's more like the eighth time, but that's fine. Kenny, Earth Day eighth is an annual event celebrated on April 22nd to demonstrate support for environmental protection. It was first celebrated in 1970. You were what, 3 years old? And this is
yeah, Kyle. I was 3 years old.
Yeah,
that makes me 49 years old now. Come on,
happy birthday, Kenny. And is now coordinated globally by the Earth Day Network and celebrated in more than 193 countries each year. Now,
let's get on those other countries who aren't celebrating and say, hey, why aren't you celebrating Earth Day? Get off Earth.
Well, here's the main discrepancy. So this year, Earth Day 2016, there's a landmark agreement called the Paris Agreement that's scheduled to be signed by the United States, China, and some 120 other countries. So there's a couple of countries here that aren't celebrating Earth Day Paris Agreement things.
This year.
Yes. So
okay.
There, I think that is the issue. If there's any
what's
issue.
The Paris
here.
Agreement?
Kenny, I'm super glad you asked. Thank you for asking so many questions today. The Paris Agreement, which establishes a long-term worldwide framework to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions, will enter into force or begin once 55 countries accounting for at least 55% of global emissions formally commit to undertaking the low carbon measures it outlines. So they're trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and they need to come to some agreement here in Paris today with countries that account for 55% of global emissions. There you go. And then once that agreement is signed, everyone needs to follow it.
Right. Once we get under that 55%, right? Or I mean,
over.
Once we get those people to lower their greenhouse gas emissions.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Moneypenny.
I'm waiting to be impressed with your gas emissions.
I think what this means is that they can no longer go up, right? As soon as we hit that threshold, that is it. You can never go above this threshold without severe penalty. Is that what it is?
I believe yes.
Because that's what it should be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of up, Kenny.
I said down, but okay.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Speaking of down.
Yeah, speaking of downing things, let's just move on to the downvote segment. Kenny, we're going to read a couple of popular and trending stories or announcements and products and things like that to decide whether or not they should be upvoted or downvoted. If you'd like to participate and submit links and or vote for things, you can go to upvote.morningshow.am and submit things there. Now, here are a couple that came directly from that website. Kenny, this is called the, it has a name. It's called the Fire Sound Drone, but it's a flying saucer that zaps fire with sound.
Wait, zaps it? You mean like eliminates it?
Zaps. That is a much cooler word, zaps.
Yeah, but zaps means that it electrifies. Like zap. Electrified. Zap.
Well, this is probably even cooler. So this is called the Fire Sound Drone. But the inventor of this drone is called his name. Hit Charles Bombardier.
Okay.
Garko.
Bombardier.
Bombardier. He's developed the Fire Sound Drone, a multi-purpose UAV that fights forest fires with sound and can be also used to detect the early stages of a fire and seek them out, or seek out missing persons, rather. They can just like... Mm-hmm.
Is this going to then add to the arsenal for firefighters?
I think that's the idea. Yeah.
Or is this something that buildings or corporations have as their like fire security?
Oh, like a like you're walking through the halls of your building and there's a flying saucer with sound. How big is it? How big do you think this is? I would assume maybe, what, 5 feet wide in order to target and sonically firefight things?
Man, 5 feet wide, so it's as big as a dude. That's kind of scary.
Maybe if they laid down.
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody flies, they're not, I mean, like Superman flies laterally, right?
Yes.
So does a drone.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Flies laterally. Maybe we should start having drones that fly vertically, where they're just like a stick with a propeller on both sides.
Oh, I think you're thinking of a helicopter.
Yeah, a helicopter drone.
Okay. That's not helpful to anyone.
I am losing all credibility here.
Yes, absolutely. So,
oh, shush.
Let me give you a couple more details here about the fire sound, and you can decide whether you want to upvote it or downvote it. Once it's looking for missing persons or injured hikers or things like that out in the wilderness, it can provide them with a limited Wi-Fi coverage where they are so that they can, I guess, talk to the outside world. So this drone sounds pretty much autonomous, and it's going to go find some people and give them some free Wi-Fi. Oh, no, I got to sign in. I got to, make sure you have your VPN on and stuff. You got to be safe.
When there's a fire?
When there's a fire, yes. You're stuck in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by fire, and a UFO comes to save you. Do you connect to its Wi-Fi network or not? That is the question.
Wow. That's really kind of... Oh, my gosh. Either I get burned by the fire, or I sign into an unsecured network. Oh, I'm going to upvote this, though.
All right. Upvote indeed. Here we go.
Because I want this to be the future.
Yes, I do, too, as well. Upvote for me. Kenny, the robotic snake.
Upvote.
Introducing the Eelume robot. I guess it's more like an eel, I guess. A self-propelled aquatic mechanical snake designed for subsea inspection and repair work. So you could have just an army of snakes surrounding your boat, repairing it while you travel in the ocean.
All right.
Or, search for whales, maybe.
Okay.
Because, they go deep.
Yeah, okay. We
had a fact earlier about whales,
Oh, All right.
If you see the image of the robotic snake, that's all I need for you to see before you can decide whether...
Oh, my gosh!
Okay, upvote or downvote, Kenny?
No, downvote. That's too scary.
Okay.
This is too scary.
All right, I'm going to say upvote.
It's got laser eyes.
Melt your very
soul.
Like
a laser snake.
Yes. Okay. I'm not gonna do that. Not gonna do that, Kenny.
No. This is like another. This is another thing to keep me out of the water. What if this was in my pool and it wraps around my legs? I don't like it. And then it drags me down because it's a robot.
Yep. Yes. You're right. It definitely is a robot. So, Kenny, because standing sucks, obviously. Here's something called the hover cart and the hover cooler. They're basically hoverboard attachments designed to for you to sit on and roll around your hoverboard.
Okay, this is not okay. This gets a severe downvote from me.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, good on them to fabricate something that can utilize the hoverboard, but this is like the epitome of lazy. All you're doing is you put a really cheap lawn chair onto a metal frame with two wheels, and then you just attach it like a trailer to your hoverboard. But and you sit like, down in the
right.
the cheap lawn chair,
right?
And you put your feet onto the hoverboard and then propel yourself. Yes. Come on!
I think you have to like move your ankles. My ankles would be very, very tired.
Yes, they. I mean, this is a good workout.
It's a great workout. Yeah, I like the chair one more so than I like the cooler.
The chair one looks like a go-kart. That's the only cool part.
Yeah, and the cooler one looks like a Mario Kart thing.
Yeah. You know what? I'll vote for this. For Mario Kart Cooler.
All right, fine with me.
That is the only redeeming quality of this entire thing here you got.
Good.
Yeah. Also, awesome track. There you go. Those bells.
Breakdown. Anyway, so nobody's going to get that. Kenny, Peggy is the world's first smart clothespin.
Do we need everything to be smart these days?
Yes, because we aren't.
Oh, wow.
Do you get it?
Yeah, I did get it. And also, I clicked on this this link and it loaded this video.
Yes.
Of a sunrise over Los Angeles?
Yes. Yes. So let's watch the video here, I guess, real quick. So it's talking about, I guess, being too busy to dry your clothes.
In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, yes. You could probably just wear the wet clothes, walk outside to Greenland Ranch or whatever it was, stand out there for like 3 seconds, and then boom.
All right, so we're watching the video. Okay. It has a light sensor, a Wi-Fi module, a humidity sensor, and a temperature sensor inside of Peggy, the world's smartest clothespin.
Clothespin. And it's just one. So you attach it to, I guess, your line, your clothes line.
Tells you the best time to wash.
Does it?
How long it'll take to dry. This is all through the app. Keeps you updated while you're washing. So, washing's done. Let's get it out to dry. All right, we're watching. Okay, now we're drying. All right, I put the clothespin on outside. Uh-oh, somebody broke into my backyard and stole my clothespin. That's weird.
I don't think when people are saying to, like, offload some of the cognitive tasks that your brain does, like deciding what the weather is and remembering how long it's going to take for you to wash your clothes, I don't think they had this in mind. I really don't.
No. And also, once you get later into the video, there's a spot where you see that there's rain approaching, and then the Peggy sends you a notification that says, it's going to rain. And great that it's going to rain. Yeah. I can see that with my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm at work, so I can't go home. I can't rush home to take my clothes off the clothesline.
Why'd you leave your clothes outside?
Because it was taking forever to dry. Peggy told me it was going to take 16 hours.
Blame Peggy.
It was very humid outside.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Can you upvote or downvote?
I'm not done. And then, when the rain passes by and I guess the weather is clearing up, Peggy actually sends you a notification that says verbatim here, weather is clearing up. Let's get the kids outside. Hold on, Peggy. How do you know I have kids? One. Number two, what do you want with my kids?
Mm.
Why are they needing to go outside? Oh, Kyle! Peggy.
Peggy just wants you to come outside, Kenny.
This is terrible. Wait, Peggy, I don't have kids. You want to make some? Really wet out here.
Oh boy! All right. don't need any more of that. Kenny, what do you think? Upvote or downvote?
Downvote.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna say downvote as well. I just think this is dumb. This is very, very dumb. I'm ready though to get the heck out of H and move on to a record of the day. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Each day, Kenny, we scour the internet looking for people willing to take on the world records that nobody cares about, these small, meaningless records. And then Friday, that's today, we're going to vote on which one should win for the record of the week. So here's today's record. It's the longest time keeping your eyebrows raised. This was set just yesterday, actually. In Phoenix, Arizona, thanks to someone named Isabel. She kept her eyebrows raised for 11 minutes and 32.28 seconds.
Wow.
11 minutes to keep your eyebrows raised.
I mean, that's surprising. Like, enough to keep my eyebrows raised?
For 11 minutes.
But no way. No way can I do this for more than about 20 seconds. I don't have the muscular strength.
Well, some of the previous records, the first one set ever in 2012 was for 1 minute and 46 seconds.
By a kid.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not judging.
Not judgy.
Mm-mm. Then it just grew from there. 4 minutes, 9 minutes, and then it went. The previous one before Isabel took a shot at this here was 9 minutes and 40 seconds. She blew this out of the water. Or the eyebrow.
Except, I mean, I get it. She's raising her eyebrows.
Uh-huh.
But they also kind of look drawn on.
Oh. Well, so that you can track them more easily.
What are the rules here? Because I can shave off my eyebrows, draw them just higher up on my forehead,
mm-hmm.
and go, I'm raising them.
No, okay,
and I've raised them for 16 right. weeks now.
You're raising them to just to be good people, mostly. So here are the rules, Kenny. You must keep both eyebrows in a raised position. That's one. Okay, got it.
Okay.
You may not relax your eyebrows during the attempt. Okay. You may not use hands or other objects to keep eyebrows raised.
Okay, so no tape.
Got it. You must follow form of current world record holder.
Okay.
So you got to make sure you watch a couple of the videos and understand what they're doing. And of course, obviously, as we have here, you must provide video evidence.
Man, that's the hardest one.
Is it? Why is that the hardest one?
I don't know.
That's a joke. Okay, good. Got it. Perfect. So now that you have heard that one, we're going to vote which of the three from this week should be the record of the week. Let me roll through them. On Tuesday, we had the most times touching a mirror in 15 seconds.
Oh, geez.
On Thursday, we had the most balloon bounces on alternating paddles in 1 minute.
Oh, yes. Pavel or whatever.
Yes. Pavel Durdik in Slovakia. And today we've got the longest time keeping your eyebrows raised.
I gotta say, the eyebrows raised, that is a feat of human that is crazy. Try doing it right now, everyone. Listeners, Kyle, everybody yeah. listening, go ahead, raise your eyebrows.
Thing is, Kenny, I've been doing it the whole show.
So if you had video evidence, we'd be about 50 minutes in.
That's correct.
The hardest thing to do is to keep them up and blink and then not forget that you're raising your eyebrows, right? My forehead already hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, I can. Yeah. What if you closed your eyebrows? What if you closed your eyeballs and did that? Because then your eyes don't get dried out. Do you think that's allowed?
It still hurts.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, so
I want to touch my forehead. I have the sensation to touch my forehead when I do it.
Why? That's weird.
For too long. I mean, like I want to massage my forehead because it hurts.
Yeah. No, you don't want to.
So I'm gonna say this one on Friday. This one takes the cake.
Yum.
It's Food Friday. I gotta say, cake.
You're right. I'm gonna vote for that one as well. Nice work, Isabel. You have won for the record of the week. Woo! I've got a slow clap for you somewhere, probably. Perfect. It's Food Friday. We've got just a couple of minutes here. Got about 10 minutes. You ready to move on and get into some food news, Kenny?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm with my crew. And we gonna show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
So this was sent in to us over on upvote.morningshow.am by Good Stuff co-host, I guess, Aaron L.M. Goodwin over on upvote.morningshow.am. This is kids.
Before you,
what?
I was going to say, before you get into this, need to say that we don't have any food to test today.
I asked if you were ready. I asked.
I don't have any food to test today.
That's fine. What I was going to say, Kenny, is that these kids trying 100 years of brown bag lunches are going to do it for us while we do this segment.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because we don't have any food. You're right.
Oh, we're going to have other people test food.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
Who eats this?
I eat what's trending.
What's trending? Is that what that kid said?
Yep, we do too. We absolutely eat what is trending. So this is kids trying 100 years of brown bag lunches from 1900 to 2000. I need to point out.
What
does that mean? What do you mean? Each decade, they'll try 10 different lunches. They'll see what they're like. They'll try the sandwiches. They'll try the accoutrement.
Okay, so like the go-to lunch from that year?
Yes. Brown bag lunches. So what you could bring to school.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
What I thought initially, which was stupid to think, but that they were going to eat.
Not surprising. Like, okay.
Fossilized lunches from 110 years ago.
Yeah, that's not. No. Mm-mm.
It was that, though.
I don't. I think you would make the kids sick.
And?
Oh, true.
Come out to play, kids.
No. Wow. Goodness. No. Can we continue?
Sorry. Continue.
All right. So in the one I want to point out the most, so they go from 1900 to 2000, obviously. The 1980s is the one I want to point out. And it's the one that I tweeted out today over on Twitter, twitter.com/morningshowam. It's the 1980s. And in the 1980s, you have the following. A Twinkie, some Pepsi, and some cold pizza.
Oh, I want to go back to the 80s.
Yes. Right?
And that, okay. Also, the size of the pizza slice in the foil for the leftover pizza.
Uh-huh.
That's a good slice of pizza.
What? Yeah, it is. Now, what I would do is I would stack two pieces of pizza. So from above the angle that they give us.
Yeah.
It still looks like one slice, but obviously you unwrap that foil. You've got basically like a pizza sandwich.
Pizza going on. Sandwich.
Mm-mm-mm. So we're going to move on to some other news while these kids try some food for us. Kenny, McDonald's is testing all you can eat fries.
Why would you ordering we said kiosks. That yesterday.
Yes, you're right. We said it was a hoax yesterday. But the news is, though, that they're opening up this kind of like futuristic McDonald's and I unlimited fries. Like I got physically excited about those fries, but why would that be the future of McDonald's? That's what I don't get. If they're trying to make this new location with these ordering kiosks and, you know, robots cook your food, why would you need unlimited fries for that? Why would that even be a part of the conversation?
I think they're only touting unlimited fries so they can test their market and see, also testing their new futuristic ordering things and make sure that they can handle the demand.
So just keep ordering.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over
again. Right. This is the way to keep people coming back to the kiosk and be like, no, I need more fries because I can have all you can eat fries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the ordering kiosk is then under high stress and let's see if it performs well.
So in the 1940s, here's the brown bag lunch that you can have. Coffee in a kid's lunch. Tomato soup in a jar, I believe. Uh-huh. Club crackers, which I would think are...
I'd put those in the soup.
Yeah, like saltines maybe, or halfway in between saltines and Ritz.
Okay.
And a Spamwich.
Oh, I love Spam.
Let's go back. Let's go 40-year increments. So we'll go to 1980, then we'll go to 1940,
back to the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Then we'll go to 1900 and tell the Archduke Franz Ferdinand not to get in that car.
That was the 1910s.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Also, Kenny, in the news for McDonald's.
McDonald's news.
Yep. Let's get back to Spam. Yes, it's Spam. McDonald's is seeing if size does matter with with two new Big Macs. So small Mac what? And small Mac and huge Mac, I guess.
Oh my. No. You should really actually get to those names.
Okay, we'll do. The Nation's Restaurant News reports that the two new variants will be called Grand Mac.
Oh my.
They call me Grand Mac.
And, hello. You a Big Mac? I am Grand Mac.
Grand Mac. And the Mac Jr.
Mac Jr. sounds so stupid.
It's, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the Big Mac broke off of McDonald's and was like, I'm just gonna start my own television company.
Yeah.
So let's start Grand Mac magazine and Mac Jr. There's, television programming.
Kyle, there's McDonald's, like the actual establishment of McDonald's, right? Yeah. You go and you go through the drive-thru, and then right next door, it's the Big Mac house. And then you only get Big Macs there.
Which one do you choose?
McDonald's. I mean, Big Macs are good,
yeah,
but not that good.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. But the I guess the difference between these two is that the Grand Mac is going to feature 2 third-pound beef patties. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to be in the junior one.
What's the Mac Jr. going to be? half of the... It's going to be the Big Mac just cut in half.
Kind of, yeah, but horizontally, I guess. It's only going to have a single beef patty, which is what?
Then that's not a Big Mac.
It's a hamburger.
That's a hamburger. That's what? Right.
Oh, gosh. Can we also point out it's McDonald's and not MacDonald's? So why is it called a Big Mac, not a Big Mick? It's really soggy.
Because I don't think Big Mic is PC.
Big Mic.
What?
Yeah. What do you think? You want to eventually?
I would totally try the Grand Mac.
All right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
yeah.
everybody? Everybody has to try it.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Would you try this though, Kenny? The Dinner DJ, an interactive kids dinner set that looks like a turntable or a scratching post for a cat.
Oh, I got to take a look at this.
Yeah. So the fork or the spork, I guess, is attached as well. What's the arm that reads the things on the record? The needle.
Well, the needle is what reads the record, but.
And the whole arm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just called the arm.
Okay. Well, you could eat your food with a needle. Arm? You could eat your arm, or you could use your arm to eat your food with a needle. I don't know which one you want to do, but I guess this is trying to interest kids in music making.
No music
happens.
The box that this comes in, mm-hmm. it says Dinner DJ.
Yeah.
And then I guess the company is Fred. But it looks like it says Dinner DJ Fred.
Well, yeah. They call me Dinner DJ Fred.
Yeah.
I'm spinning plates for you.
Mad plates.
Mad plates. Yeah. They call me MC DJ Dinner Fred.
Also, the girl in this photo who's eating the spaghetti with sauce and broccoli.
Yes.
That food is super fake. Like, that. There's no way.
Yeah, it's a little flat.
That sauce would get everywhere if you started spinning that record.
Yeah, I wonder if it just turns, constantly turns, as you're trying to eat your food. It's like,
I missed it.
Just like shovel it straight into your mouth.
I would just pick up the whole plate. Ow!
So if you have an aspiring DJ at the table and they're, you know, what, 8 years old and are not eating their spaghetti, this might help? Maybe? Question mark? Don't know. Not sure. But if you're looking to also be a little artful, Kenny, you could use these carrot sharpeners to maybe sharpen your carrots, I guess.
Wow.
This is coming to us from boingboing.net. You could grab a couple of carrot sharpeners here for $3.77. So why not? I guess you can also.
Why not? What a weird price point.
I didn't know that they had carrot sharpeners.
It looks like a pencil sharpener.
It looks, but it's got to be bigger. It's got to fit a carrot in there.
Or you just find a smaller carrot and you use a pencil sharpener.
True. Have you ever sharpened a pencil with a like an X-Acto knife, a blade, sword?
I've not an X-Acto knife, but one of those box cutters.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fine. That's fine.
But not like a dull pencil, like from scratch. You know what I mean? Like when there's no point at all.
Right. Yeah.
I've never done that.
Okay.
But
okay.
I have had to like sharpen the pencil so that I can get a point on a dull pencil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is from Monkey Business, by the way. That's
Monkey Business.
That's the carrot. It's called Carato Sharpener and Peeler. And if you want some sharp carrots, I guess. Maybe if you want to have that Bugs Bunny look, maybe.
I think this is more for the people who get carrots in prison.
Yes. Oh, you stabbed me with a carrot. Or a cucumber or a zucchini.
A carrot shank. You know,
one of those. Yeah. Yes. Kenny, and last one, of course. Cheerios was in the news. Cheerios were in the news. Cheerios are in the news. Doesn't matter. They tweeted out something about Prince passing away. It's just really insensitive, and nobody cared about what the Cheerios brand thought. But they're also trying to apparently be relevant here because they're going to introduce pumpkin spice Cheerios.
Nope.
Somebody's making some poor decisions over at Cheerios right now.
Nope.
And
when was this?
1983.
No. This was released Wednesday?
Yeah. Yes, looks like it.
Yeah. This should have been released in October.
Sure. Okay.
that's kind of when the pumpkin spice thing happens. We're in spring right now, heading into summer. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin spice has no business at this time of year. This is definitely the wrong time to do this.
Well, they're probably just trying to pump us up, you know? It's the long
pumpkin
con.
Spice us up.
I hate it. I hate it all.
I also don't like that it has to say made gluten free.
Oh, it is, Kenny.
Who cares?
People who cannot have it.
So, what?
What?
The first ingredient, Kyle, mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. pumpkin spice Cheerios is whole grain oats.
Okay.
That's all there is.
Yeah.
Just whole grain oats and a pumpkin and some spice.
Did you
and
just
a
put
spoon.
Okay. Maybe
that
it's...
That spoon looks upside down, doesn't it? Look upside down?
Upside down spoon! No,
I was looking at the picture.
It looks right side up. It doesn't look like it has any depth. It looks like a flat spoon.
It's spade.
Yeah. It looks more like a knife. Like you're eating cereal with a knife.
No, but you cut the pumpkin with the knife... With the spoon knife, uh-huh. and then inside, instead of seeds, it's pumpkin spice Cheerios.
Cheerios, blah, just kind of pours out. Yeah. Can you imagine reaching your hand into a pumpkin and pulling out Cheerios? But like soggy Cheerios.
Cheerios and milk.
Yeah. Well,
that's what you should eat the Cheerios in. The pumpkin spice Cheerios should be eaten inside of a half pumpkin. Like a bread bowl, but it's a pumpkin bowl.
Oh my gosh, no. I need this to be full loudness. No. Absolutely.
No. And ending on that high note, Kyle.
What if, Kenny, they didn't put the like small desk pumpkin that lasts 3 years on this Cheerios box? Because I feel like that is misleading. That's not really a pumpkin, is it?
I like that you labeled it as the 3 year desk pumpkin.
Yeah. And title. Yeah. Okay, fine. Let's get the heck out of here. Really? Oh boy. Kenny, you can find all of our Cheerios over at goodstuff.fm/morningshow or of course morningshow.am. Be sure to sign up over at upvote.morningshow.am to get updates and upvote some of the links that we talk about on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in our upvote, downvote segment. We won't email you personally. We won't use your email for anything, but you will get, I believe, weekly summary emails that you can turn off. But it's kind of like your own little morning show newsletter kind of thing, a little bit. Be sure to use tags for things like Food Friday. We'll cover them on days like today. You can email the show if you'd like, kyle@goodstuff.fm, for questions, concerns, complaints, or, you know, just to say hello. You can also leave a message just like the one we played today. Yeah.
What's that number, Kyle?
949-342-6578.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome. Be sure also to check out some of the other great shows over the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network. We've got Non-Breaking Space Show. The At YouTube Podcast just posted a new episode. I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now. And, of course, Three Guys, Three Questions. They're recording episodes now, so subscribe. Listen back to some of the older ones from the last season. Season 6 does start soon, so get excited. Rate and review this show on iTunes if you would. It will help other people find the show and maybe make my mouth work a little better than it does right now, potentially. A huge thanks to FeedPress for their support of this program, of course. And we will see you back here on Monday. Kenny, have a great weekend. You too, listeners, and we'll see you later.
Goodbye. Bye. Have a good weekend.